You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Oh, give thanks unto the
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth and relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to Change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
Now, good evening. How's everybody doing? Do y'all ever answer that question? I know I ask it every Thursday, but I don't know what I get an answer for. How was your day? How was your week up until today? Think about it. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just worship you. We exalt you. We just thank you in advance for the opportunity to bring forth your word. And not only to bring forth, but allow us on the inside to hear the word, make it real on the inside of us. We get the choice to internalize what we hear so that it becomes a part of our life and our behavior. We just thank you in advance for what's going to take place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're still talking about the warrior within. And the question has always been asked, are you a warrior? Anybody can be great when nothing is going on. But the true test of a warrior is when the intensity is there and you stand firm and you walk free in the battle. Because, you know, like the Super Bowl just finished. and the intensity of it going back and forth, one team being you know, way ahead of the other one and so forth and so on. So you are called Super Bowl champions because you overcame adversity in the midst of what was going on. How much more for right now? They only do it once a year. We live our lives being super because we're in Christ Jesus. Okay? All right, so we're talking about his word tonight. And examples of using the word, his word, is Matthew chapter 8. I'm doing a quick review, and that's a miracle. It's going to be quick. Matthew chapter 8, verse 7 through 9 in the New Living Translation. It says, we're talking about the centurion. Because I want to keep bringing that up because that is the only place in the Bible where Jesus marveled because of how this centurion, understood about speaking the word. And speaking the word where you are with an impact, it would impact where somebody else was. Because his servant was sick. And he was paralyzed, according to scripture. And he told Jesus, well, let's read the scripture. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my house. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. And I talked about it on Sunday. Just say the word. Say the word where you are. You can be in the midst of stuff going wrong. And you can speak the word, and that situation has to change. Remember, I told earlier about how it has to bow to the name of Jesus. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed it has happened, not going to happen, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. So when we speak the word, his word in us coming out, because we believe, we spoke. It has happened. So whatever it is that you're believing for, when you spoke the word, I always like to write the time and date stamp down because the person who wins in court is the one who has the most information. And so I have the time that it happened in the spirit realm, and I have the date that it happened in the spirit realm. And so that's just for me. That's what I do. Boaz and Ruth, it was a gentleman that... In 2015, he was talking about, I'll never get off probation. And yeah, I know you heard it, but you're going to hear it again. And so what happened was, I said, I see different. I say, I decree and declare, because I'm doing it in front of him. So it's okay to declare when you're doing it in front of someone. So I decree and declare that you're going to be totally taken off probation. And I wrote the time and date stamp down. What time it was 2 o'clock, I'm sorry, it was 12 o'clock that day. And I wrote the date down. It was 2015. And about 2 years ago, he went to his probation officer, which he did every month. And she told him that you're off probation, period. So the time and date is very important because sometimes when we get discouraged, do Christians get discouraged?
Always.
You heard, yeah. When we get discouraged, we can remember by looking at the time and date what God gave us at that moment. Okay? All right. It's not what happens to you, but how you respond. Somebody respond totally different to ignorance today. And somebody got in a fight about ignorance today. So it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to it. Jesus was a perfect example of everything that he went through. But he decided that he was going to do it for us because the scriptures say, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Okay, and so this is the kicker right here. I'm not saying this is easy, but I'm saying this is sure. Guys, what else? So we have a choice to choose life or death, blessing or cursing. So how long will it take for us to, sort of like just stay in this little funky place? Instead of choosing life, and you can get out of that place. But anyway, so don't waste your time texting me and saying, well, you make it sound so easy. Well, I've been through it. And I see that life is a lot better than death. Life is a lot better than moping. Life is a lot better than just laying down and just giving up. So, number one. These are the 6 steps that I use as I process information of things that are going on. And I always choose life. So number one, choose. How can I choose life in this situation? So regardless of what's happening, I choose to go life because God said, not only will I live, but those who are with me will live, me and my household. So regardless of what's going on, so I don't really have to even think about that one, about number one, choose. So I choose life. Number two, know what word can I use in this situation? Number three, am I going too fast here?
I think you're going.
Okay. Believe. And by that believe, I say, have I examined myself? Because there's always a part that faith plays, or you in the faith. There's always a part that we play. And we need to examine ourselves to see where we are in this faith. Because God's word said in James, let not that man think he is tossed to and from. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Did he say something? He said anything. So I always like to examine myself to see where I'm at. Number four, speak. Speak his word. When you're speaking his word, you're speaking the outcome, not the situation. You're speaking the outcome. You are saying by speaking his word where you want this to go and how you want this to end in victory. Number five, do. Follow through on the decision that you made. That's where procrastination comes from, is we are afraid, and I'm using the real word, we are afraid that if we do it, it's not going to turn out the way we thought or believed. So that's where procrastination comes. You are uncertain as to what the outcome is going to look like or what's going to happen to it. Number six, stand. That means finished. It's already finished because you have gone through the steps and you're finished. And after you finish, you rest. So you move on to something else. Okay. All right. On Sunday, I talk about having a yucky day. And I was so excited about all the Christians that right when I said, have you ever had a yucky day? I think, yeah, we had at least 99%. You know, you always have one spiritual Christian that has just never had a bad day. You know, just never had a yucky day. It was never twisted. They always walked on water. But for the other 99 of us, we have had yucky days. Tell you a secret. Jesus had a yucky day. I mean, how excited can you be hanging up on the cross? But he said his process was, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Him being whipped, him being beaten, that was a yucky day. But he processed it differently. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's talking to his father, he says, if there is a way for this cup to pass by me, to pass from me, and then he stopped. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Because he knew what he was going to face, okay? This is the second one. I share. We did yucky day, and this one is I need to pull you to the side.
Ooh.
Now, you guys, let me know. Let me share. Know, have you ever had to pull somebody to the side? They were special. They said something. They tried to. Now, whether they tried to embarrass you or not, that's what took place. So, pulling you to the side, we need to have a discussion. Now, we know as parents, if you have children, we know we pulled our children to the side because they was acting special in some kind of way. But my dad would have a look. When he would look at you, you would rather have your spanking. Because, man, when he looked at you, it had some power to it where you couldn't look away. You know, so you had to stay in that gaze right there. Am I lying on anybody? No. What's somebody say to you?
Nicole says, I've been the pulley and the puller, okay. And neither was fun.
Wow. Okay. Right. Thanks for sharing. Okay. Anybody else been in that situation?
Yet.
Okay. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 in the Amplified. So this situation came up. And I need to pull somebody to the side. We need to have a discussion. And it has come to a place. Now, one of the things I try not to do is I try not to let the stuff back up, pile up. You understand what I'm saying? Because the last thing you want to do is bring up 15 incidents when you should be talking about one. How many of you all have brought up more than 10 incidents when it was only supposed to be one? Because remember what I shared a few weeks ago. The scripture makes it clear, let not your son go down upon your wrath. You are a human being. That's not just for married couples. That's for anybody who gets angry with someone else. You're not supposed to let the sun go down upon your wrath. So I want to know. Okay, keep going. I'm going to keep going to you. All right, so let me read the scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 in the Amplified, it says, but speaking the truth in love. Okay, let me read it first. In all things, both our speech and our lives expressing his truth, let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. So let's just take a look at that. So how am I supposed to speak the truth? I'm supposed to speak the truth in love. That means I'm not going malicious, being, now it's okay to be angry, but just don't sin in your anger. So I'm going and I'm going to speak the truth in love in both my speech. That means I'm not going to cuss you out. I'm not going to be yelling and screaming at you. Sometimes, yes, your voice will raise. But if you want to get the most attention when you have to pull somebody to the side, you lower your voice. And by lowering your voice, it requires a person to pay attention to hear what you're saying. And our lives expressing his truth. So whose truth are we supposed to express when we are pulling somebody to the side? God's truth. Check this out. Let us grow up in all things into him. So once you are speaking the truth in love, that is an opportunity for a person to grow up in that area where they're having that challenge. By being a pastor of a church, it's like people think if you're pulling them to the side that you just thought about that all night and you just want to hurt them. No. You want to correct them so that they can grow up in him. A lot of times you'll be amazed at how many people don't have someone to pull them aside. And they are doing behavior because they don't know any better. Okay? I mean, this is real stuff. All right, so number one, I asked myself, and I do this out loud under my breath sometimes if someone is around. I'll ask myself, okay, so how do I choose life in this situation? Well, as the images start, as I'm starting to process the information, I'm saying, okay, this is happening. Maybe they're doing it because they don't know any better, but I need to choose life in this situation. I know better. Number two, what word can I use for this situation? What word can I use? And this was the word I used, Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives expressing his truth. But let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, and that's Christ. So this is the word that I want to use for that situation. So I am using this word. I'm not telling that person the situation, or sometimes I will, depending on how mature they are. Because if you're meeting a new believer, or a non-believer, you can still pull them aside. But instead of me quoting the scripture, I will talk, for lack of a better word, talk on their level. Okay? And I'm just telling you a different way. The way Christ did it was when he talked on certain levels to people, he used where they were. So if they were a fisherman, he talked fish. If they were a carpenter, he talked carpet. Okay? So I'm always looking for a word or a way. What type of curriculum do you work in? So I want to be on a level where I'm not above you, but I'm with you. Number three, believe. Have I examined myself? So, you know, in this situation that I'm about to pull this person aside, am I doing the same thing that I'm talking to them about? Or am I doing the right thing? Have I talked to them about being late, but I'm late? Have I talked to them about long lunches and do I take long ones? Am I a person who constantly interrupts if I'm talking to you about interrupting someone's conversation? So that's what I mean by a belief. Once you believe, I need to examine myself. I'm talking to somebody about anger. Am I always shouting and screaming? So y'all let me know what area, if we're dealing with pulling somebody aside, what's the area that you need to examine yourself? And I know we got all these people over here. Mm-hmm. So I know we got them. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me continue to go. Speaker's word. So I'm going to speak the outcome. And guys, you got to focus on not screaming, not yelling, not getting in their face, but be relaxed about it as much as you can. So if I hear my voice raising, I'll start to lower my voice. If I feel like I'm stepping too close, I'll start to step back. A lot of times, depending on who you're pulling aside as to whether it needs to be done in a formal setting or informal setting. Informal is like the hallway, you're stepping outside. Formal is where you are going to an office setting. So when a person, we automatically think when we go to an office, we are in big trouble. Okay? So I want to give you the science behind or the word along with the science behind treating people in a way where they feel comfortable talking with you, even though you're pulling them aside. What we got, Shia?
Tamika says that she tells Trenton to practice patience.
Okay.
But right. She yells and screams in the car.
Okay. All right.
And Wayne says, I've done it, but I raised my voice and it became a shouting match, so nothing was accomplished.
Okay. I appreciate your honesty. Excuse me. All right. So, following up with what you said you were going to do. So you've spoken the word. You've spoken into their life. And after speaking into their life, because your job is to make sure you follow up. So if you told yourself that I'm going to pull a person to the side, we're going to have this conversation, then your job is to follow up with what you said you were going to do. Because I tell you a secret, nothing happens in comfort. If you're always looking to be comfortable, there is no growth in comfort. So the very fact that you want to talk to this person shows growth on your part, provided that you're not in your flesh. So if you're in your flesh, that's where I said, examine yourself. You're in your flesh, don't even bring it up. Don't even talk about it. Don't communicate about it. You just, if you had made an appointment to talk with them, say, hey, look, you know, I really thought about it. Hopefully you prayed about it. And I realized that it's not even necessary. Okay? You have a good day and just move forward. Number 6 is you stand on the victory that you know you accomplished. Do you get excited when you accomplish things? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I had one session and the person was beating themselves up because they did not like the outcome of what happened. But when I spoke the truth in love, I said, months ago, you wouldn't even had that conversation. So let's focus on the things that you did well. And I started bringing things up. Okay, what about this? How did you think you respond to that? Well, you know, I was really upset. But you got over it in 2 days, whereas before it would have been 2 weeks. So I called the person to the attention. So let's refocus our attention on where we need to be. Got it? Michelle, you think we got time for one more?
We might. I have a couple of comments.
Okay, what we got?
Let's see. Corey was saying that getting upset when coworkers don't complete a task that's been given them is a time that he has to really think about pulling people to the side.
Okay.
And Wayne says that he got the yuckies when he was getting ready to do something good and realized his negative emotions were getting in the way of him growing.
Okay. I appreciate your honesty. So for the, what was it, Corey at first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a word to the wise, don't let it build up. Anything that you address after max 2 times. Now, if you heard me say 3 before, but now I realize 3 is too long. Well, let me rephrase that, depending on what the challenge is. But if you have, the reason why I say 2 for the situation you're working in is because other people, other employees are watching your response to that employer. So people will go quick to this place where, well, you let him do it. A lot of people are not mature enough not to compare themselves to others because the word says that's not wise. So people are watching to see what your reaction is. If you have 6 employees, then what you're looking at is all six of them have either lunch together or conversations, but guess who they're talking about? If you correct one, that one is making sure that he eat with the other five so that you can be the topic of conversation. But you want to give out that sense that I'm consistent with my behavior or correction with everybody that's involved. So what I ask, if he's not allowed to come in late for work, then neither are the other five. Okay. So you want to be on point with that, because otherwise, once it gets out, they will try to make sure that all of them are doing the exact same thing. But one, there will be one that will try to take it to the next level so that he can be the new standard for what you have to address. Okay?
He said that that was their words exactly, and thank you.
Oh, oh,
and Nicole really? Says also it was helpful.
Okay. Okay. All right. I just, okay. All right. Okay. So, Shell, which one do you think we ought to go with? We beeping, or I'm salty at you. I mean, I'm angry.
I'm thinking salty.
Salty. Okay, y'all ready for salty? Okay, let's go salty. And I mean, salty is where you literally almost put your Christianity to the side. You might swing, you might cuss, you might fuss, but you might even be loud enough where somebody got to pull you to the side and say, hey, man, lower your voice. We are at a restaurant, or we are at a dinner, or we are at a family event. So, number one, so this is salty. So I'm at this angry place, and I got to talk myself down off of this angry place. So I got to choose life in this situation. How do I choose life when I'm this angry? That's a real question. All right, Paul, you need to step aside. You need to walk away. You need to go somewhere where it's quiet and private for you, so that you can readjust your thoughts. And I'm asking myself, as I'm choosing life, how can I choose life in this situation? Sometimes the answer is not to have that conversation right now. My maximum time is normally 15 minutes. I said, tell you what, let's get back together in 15 minutes, okay? And I don't mind sharing how I'm feeling, because I'm really angry right now, and I don't want to feel that way when we have this conversation. So let's just take 15 minutes. And, you know, so I'm replaying in my mind a real conversation. And I say, well, both of us are Christians, so let's speak in tongues for the next 15 minutes before we come back together. All right, number two, what word can I use for this? And this is the word I use. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Say, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. How much time did I give the person? 15 minutes. I didn't want to say, let's speak tomorrow, because that's another day. I said, let's get back together in 15 minutes. Let's speak in tongues. But it says, be angry. So it was okay for me to be angry. And please, Christians, get this in your head. Christians suffer more guilt from being angry than they do from sinning. I'm not lying, guys. I'm not lying. I mean, it's like, it's abomination to be angry. But he tells us, be angry, but just don't sin. Okay? So, no, what word can I use for this? And this is the word that I use. And let me just tell you, most of the time I use the same word when I get angry, this word right here. So it's not like I have to find a new scripture for the different things. Remember, the whole teaching is about the warrior within and use the weapons that work. So if this scripture has worked for me and calmed me down, then I don't have to look for another scripture. I don't care whether it's male or female. Either way, this is the scripture I use when I'm angry, okay? Because I can hear, I can't say, when I see the word and, that means I'm supposed to add something to it. Be angry and don't sin. So I can't say one without the other. So this is the scripture I use. Now, number three, believe. Have I examined myself? Paul, you know. Now, depending on what your position is when you have this conversation, if you're a pastor and you're talking to a congregate, you got to take a look at this thing. Because will they be able to hear, will they be able to hear the message that are coming out of your mouth? Will they be able to listen to you teaching the word ever again? If you're really angry about this, then this is not a good place. So depending on what your position is as to how you can approach or adjust situations, if you are a manager and you're talking to someone that works under you, you have to watch how you have that conversation as well. But I'm just telling you, so I'm examining myself. So Paul, you know, it's like, you know, you're angry. Now is not the time. So you took the 15-minute time. And so when you have that conversation, just make sure now that you know where anger is, let's go ahead and start to tone it down a notch. So you want to lower your voice because it's hard to express anger when you're having a lower voice. Is there anything that you need to ask God to forgive you about this person that you're about to have this conversation with? If it is, go ahead and do it now. Okay, so these are just real. I mean, this is how I do it. So now number four is speak the word, the outcome. You know, I know this seems like I'm pulling you to the side and you don't want to be poor or you're not comfortable with me addressing this, but I need to address this. But I want you to know that I believe that you're better than this. I believe, so I'm speaking the outcome. I believe you can be on time, or I believe that you can serve in a greater capacity, or I believe that you have what it takes to go to the next level. So let's grow up in him. Let's take the next step that is necessary for you to do what's needed to be done. And that's growing. That's you. You know, I want you in a supervisor position, but I need you to be accountable to us, but also accountable to yourself so that you're not just willy-nilly it, but you are doing what is necessary to continue to advance. And because that's what you said you want. You know, remind people, and write this one down, please. People are astonished when you can repeat back what they said they wanted or the goals that they have set. So it's amazing when you are speaking the truth to them and you're telling them, because based off what you said, now remember, you said that you wanted to go into management. Based on what you said, this conversation I'm having with you will help you get there. So it's okay to bring up in remembrance of what a person told you when you said they wanted to grow. Okay? Number five, I did the conversation that I thought that I was going to have. So I made a decision, okay, that I was going to have this conversation. And guys, you can set a mindset on it. It's like, you know, another way that I process life is like, you know, I'm looking forward to going home and having a nice meal, being with my wife and watching a movie. So I want to make sure that this is done, is over with. So as I'm riding home, I'm rejoicing over the fact that I did what I said I was going to do. Number six, I stand, I finished, and I can rest. Now, Pastor. Well, what happened when the thought comes up about how, you know, how did they take it? Well, how will they treat you tomorrow? How do you know it worked? I'm in the rest mode. I did what I said I was going to do. I examined myself. And guys, most people are not excited about receiving correction. So I put that in there. Some people, depending on how salty they are, I'll tell them with the conversation. I said, just want to let you know, I know what I'm about to share, what I'm about to say, you're not excited about. And so you will probably be angry about this. So if you don't speak to me for the next couple of days, I understand. But I'm hoping that you're bigger than that and you have grown. So I included everything that was necessary. I told them in advance how they might feel. It'd be awesome if they don't feel that way and tomorrow they're excited and so forth and so on. But sometimes that's not the case. But don't let their reaction hinder you from speaking the truth. As long as you are staying in the right place, it's okay because I've examined myself. Amen? And sometimes you got to bounce it off other people because we can have blind spots. So depending on what the situation is, I bounce it off my wife. I don't tell her who the people are, and she don't want to know. And I'll just say, hey, honey, I want to do this. I was thinking about this and so forth and so on. Fair enough? I see anything else? Everybody good?
Everybody seems to be good.
Okay, guys. All right. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you. I just thank you. I thank you for those who are listening. And I thank you for those who will do a replay on the video and say, hey, you know, what did he say about this? How can I use this? I think that'll work for me. And I thank you for those who will look later on who didn't see it the first time, and they'll share it with other people. And I thank you for a good night's sleep that we'll awaken, refreshed, and renewed. And we understand that you love us so much that we enter into rest tonight, not being concerned about the next day, but the day that we're in, so that we can be where you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you on Sunday, 10 a.m.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.